Time to bring in our man Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. See Mike as lifelong people around the Bulldogs. So Jeff's dilemma there is when the Lady Dogs go to Tuscaloosa, you still have to hear from the Alabama fans. I don't know if they're trying to be nice about it or does it come across as condescending or whatever, but, you know, just one of those funny things. How are you today, Mike?
Doing well, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. And, it's like we were saying, just kind of joking about even when one of the other Georgia sports teams plays over in Tuscaloosa, it still never gets very far away from football. But I guess, you know, it shouldn't. It's always – I mean, I know there's a lot of great teams in other sports, but it is all about football. And you're cranking out stories constantly that it may not be football season per se, but I thought I like the one you wrote about Jason Stanley and what he says, you know, how Kirby has gotten him prepared for what he needs to do if he's going to be able to be successful on the next level.
Well, and let's face it, you know, when guys choose a school for football at this level, most of them are looking for an NFL career and they want to play for a coach who has a staff and a program that's geared towards advancing their career. I mean, is it really any different than anyone else that goes to college? They look for a program they feel comfortable in, and they look for a program that will help them get recruited into the career field or career path that they want. And, you know, in Jason Stanley's case, he was recruited by Mark Richt, and I think most people that are knowledgeable with the Georgia program know that, you know, Coach Richt did a lot of great things. You don't have to – you can like Kirby Smart and like Mark Richt. You know, I'm always amazed at some of the programs I've covered. When a coach leaves, everybody has to hate him all of a sudden. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. That coach served your program and did things in the community as well. And in the case of Jason Stanley, Kirby came in and changed some things, and it helped Jason out. Now, if you look at his number of catches, then, you know, you wouldn't think, well, maybe this is a guy who won't play in the league because he didn't catch enough passes. But, you know, NFL teams need guys like Jason Stanley that put team first, that have a ceiling, that have that size, athleticism, and speed. And I'm excited to watch what Jason does at Georgia's Pro Day, which I believe will be March 20th. I don't think that's been announced, but I'm anxious to see what he does because I think he's a guy that could open some eyes and bring some of the things that he learned at Georgia that makes Georgia such a successful program to a pro football locker room.
You know, guys, I think one of the things that Kirby has done so well, you go back to his first year with Brian Harrington and Mo Smith, bringing in Cameron Nizalek, and now you look with these two transfer additions here. He has done a tremendous job with the roster management. And I think most coaches, guys, would you kind of like to be at around, I know 85 is the boat, you might want to be around 82, 83, just to give yourself a little wiggle room there. And just the roster management, the way he's put it together, it's very similar to what the elite general managers in the NFL are able to do.
Well, you know, Kirby is elite. I mean, in the sense that he's a businessman as much as he is a football coach. You know, the old, you know, stereotype of the aw shucks coach with the whistle around his neck. I mean, that's not Kirby Smart. I mean, Kirby Smart's a businessman as much as he is a football coach. And, you know, you mentioned the roster management, and I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, Kirby made an appearance on signing day in February earlier this month. He didn't talk with the local media for whatever reason, but there's a reason, because everything he does and doesn't do, there's a reason. But he talked about the future with the NCAA transfer portal and the underclassmen's declare date being January 14th as it related to early signing day. And the net effect is that Georgia and other great programs that attract the best talent are going to turn younger because there's going to be more guys transferring that don't play early, and there's going to be more guys declaring early. So he's way ahead of the curve. Everything he does and doesn't do is calculated. I don't want to say there's no mistakes with Kirby Smart, but there's not many. Everything he does is a deliberate act, and that's why he's been able to rise so fast at Georgia. I think Georgia just has to hope that Kirby decides he wants to spend the rest of his career here.
I thought it was interesting. I was listening to to you with BA last week and your take on Kirby kind of going silent since, you know, the beginning of the year is, you know, in your opinion, and it's kind of funny, as a media guy yourself, you get it, you understand it, and it doesn't bother you as much as it's been maybe bothering some other folks or maybe the fan base, that kind of thing.
Well, look, I understand it. Like I said, I don't like it. I want to be clear about that. I don't like it. I think Georgia's got enough good things going on over there. And listen, I don't know what this means to fans. I don't know if they understand the value. And when I say understand, I don't mean that they're not smart enough to understand. It's just there's an element that sports information brings. And when I say sports information, people may not understand what I'm talking about, but sports information, there's a staff over there that puts out all the information on Georgia that the media gets a hold of. They put out press releases. They conduct the interviews. They assist the coaching staff in terms of how they want to publicize the program. And Georgia has the best sports information staff in the country, hands down. Every year there's an award that's given out to the best sports information staff, and I don't know if Georgia fans know it. I would hope they know who Claude Felton is by now. But
the great Claude Felton, yes.
it's unparalleled. It's the absolute best. And the value to that is Claude and his staff put the best face on their sports program of any college in the country. They have the best relations with the media, local and national, in the country. That's invaluable. Now, if there's one area where I think Kirby Smart, I'm going to say it, can improve, I would say that he may want to defer to those folks maybe a little more often, because as smart as Kirby is, and like I said, I think he's the smartest coach I've covered, and I've covered Hall of Fame coaches. When I say smart, I mean in a sophistication sort of way and business acumen sort of way. But if there's one area where maybe he doesn't see the value of his time going, it's in this area. This is one area where Georgia's got Alabama beat 100 times over. And I don't know if Kirby sees that yet or recognizes it, but that sports information staff that he has gives Georgia the best opportunity to have the best image in the nation. And I think Georgia does have an incredibly good reputation and image nationally.
So, hey, Mike, I want to ask you, too, as when I say outsider, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but as a non-Georgia person, but you cover the Dogs, you know, definitely controversial as far as what's going to happen with the flip-flop of the schedule with Auburn and Tennessee. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't understand the controversy, because this is what Kirby Smart wants. I mean, now some people may not understand his play calls in some games, although there's a reason behind all those too, and we'll explain them at some point. But this is what Kirby Smart says is best for the Georgia program. So this is your head coach talking. And Greg McGarrity is the liaison to the SEC for Kirby. I mean, Greg McGarrity pretty much works, you know, does what, you know, Kirby Smart, you know, wants him to do, or he works in unison with Kirby, or if there's something that goes down, you know, he talks to Kirby Smart about it. I mean, it's not like, you know, Kirby Smart wakes up one day and Greg McGarrity says, oh, by the way, here's your schedule in 2020. No chance. This has been talked through. This has been evaluated. And this is what the $6 million man wants for his program. So why don't the fans want what Kirby wants? Do they think they know better than Kirby Smart as to what's best for the program in 2 years? We just got done talking about roster management. So I don't understand the controversy. I don't know why anybody would.
Well, I can answer that for you, Mike. And I'm Kirby's biggest champion here, because we've been playing Auburn in November since 1937. Georgia went to Auburn back-to-back in 2012 and 2013, never got that return. And that's what got us off balance, for Georgia having to go to Tech and Auburn every other year and for Auburn having to go to Bama every other year. So there's a feel that Georgia never got that back. It also, it comes across – and I'm not saying this is right, it comes across that Georgia's doing Auburn a favor. Another great coach at Georgia completely agrees with that sentiment as well. And if and unless something changes here, you're in the same boat with Tennessee because they're on the same schedule rotation, so you'll be going to Knoxville and Atlanta every other year. So that's where a lot of people have – I don't like it. I think it's right. It's a bad move, and I'm just going to tell you about a – 99.9% of my guys who are all former players of the like who are diehard Georgia fans, they agree with that. Now, here's the deal. When it happens in the grand scheme of thing. Is it the biggest thing in the world? Maybe not, but it is disappointing, and I get there might be some reasoning behind it. Here's another thing. Georgia's won 11 of the last 14 against Auburn, and 7 of the last 9, should be 9 out of 9, against Tennessee. As the great Crash Davis says, don't bleep with a hot streak. So I just think you throw all those factors in, and it was just baffling. And then, by the way, the fact that it happens on the day of the infamous toy tosser and the technical foul that night, that's one of the most bizarre days that Georgia's ever had last Wednesday.
Well, here's what you're missing, though. 1937, they didn't have an SEC championship game.
Well, I'm aware of that, Mike. Mike, I understand all that. But, no, I mean, but again, you're changing Tennessee with Auburn. I think the SEC, what they want, even though most of us agree college football is better than the NFL, college football tries to be more like the NFL, which I think is a mistake. I think in the end what the SEC wants, and I think they want, and no point on us arguing about this, but I think you would agree, I think they are looking to have division games only in November, but between that last weekend in October, leading up to a Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, because what you're leaving out is the most important thing of this, though. Kirby Smart said it. He doesn't want to play Georgia Tech and Auburn back-to-back. It is different because you're not going to play Tennessee the first week of December. You could play Auburn 2 or 3 weeks apart. And
worked
and
out good
that.
For us 2 years ago.
Worked out well, yeah. I know.
And see Kirby, that? But Kirby doesn't want – it worked out well because Georgia was the revenge team. It didn't work out well for Auburn. What if Georgia wins in November and Auburn plays the revenge game? That's what Kirby Smart said he didn't want.
Well, I like beating Tech at high noon. I like beating Tech at high noon and being comfy in Butts Mare when Auburn and Bama were in the middle of the third quarter slugging it out. To me, that's the big thing that switched that Georgia's way.
Well, the point is you're not going to play Tennessee in a rematch the first week of December. And again, I would just say Kirby Smart wants it this way. And if there's somebody who can coach Georgia better than Kirby Smart, raise your hand.
Well, nobody's saying that we want a new coach here. I mean, good gosh, I'm Kirby's biggest fan here. But the point is, just if you disagree with something here, it doesn't mean that you're making some outlandish statement. I'm just telling you, the Georgia people are not happy with this. We'll get over it, and there are reasons why. And so I don't think there needs to be, for those who do think this is okay, I don't think there needs to be this callous attitude, because this rivalry, this series, this history, these traditions that make college football so great, they're very important. Now, we're going to continue playing them. It's not. I talked with Mark Bradley about this. It's not like this is what happened with the Oklahoma-Nebraska deal, where the game is going to cease. But I do think the fact that it just kind of got – there's this rumor, and then, boom, oh, my God, all of a sudden we're going to be playing Auburn in October. I think people have got to understand, for Georgia alumni and fans, that this is something that's going to take some time to get used to. And, again, there's just that feeling that we got slighted on this, and it looks like, right or wrong, it looks like Georgia's doing Auburn a favor here. So that's a lot of the perception out there. That's what I think is important to understand.
I do understand the perception. Okay. I do understand the perception issue, but, you know, you're asking me, as someone who's covered the SEC for 25 years and covered Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee and now Georgia, and one thing I will say is that sometimes programs let tradition get in the way of their progress. And what's enabled Kirby Smart to take Georgia to the next level is that he is a Georgia Bulldog. And if anybody understands tradition in Georgia football, it's Kirby Smart. So if there's anybody who's got the license to make changes where he thinks it's better, it's going to be Kirby. How about Philip Fulmer? What about Philip Fulmer? Now, he's the AD at Tennessee. I don't hear anybody complaining about Tennessee moving their Georgia game.
No, because they don't have to play Florida and Georgia back-to-back now. It's a good move for them.
Well, but there's a lot of tradition. Tennessee's used to coming down to Georgia.
We did. We started playing them every year in 1992. It's a different ball game, Mike. I mean, it is. Again, it's. I just disagree with it. And listen,
it's
Kirby.
It's a different ball game for the people that are 60 and over, maybe. But Kirby's trying to win national championships right now.
Well, we played for it two years ago, playing Auburn in November. You just have to understand that there are some people who aren't going to like it, and obviously we all love Kirby. So that's I just think the fact that it happened is Indiana Jones was told when he got his new hat and Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade, you lost today, kid, but that doesn't mean you got to like it.
That's right. That's right.
That's fair. I guess my thought is, I think controversy might not be the right word, because I don't think there's anything controversial about Georgia fans supporting Kirby.
Well, and I'll say this too. I'm not great with it either. I mean, I'm like Jeff. I get it, but I appreciate the different perspective on it. And I blame Missouri and Texas A&M
on all of this.
No question. That's who I blame. But anyway, by the way, does Kentucky get a technical called on them in the in that same instance
that Georgia
got one called on them Wednesday night? That was going to be my final question for you.
There were two or three other calls in the last 2 minutes that I had a bigger problem with. I mean, I know that, you know, right now there's other – all the fan bases in the country have conspiracy theories if when their team loses this and that. But the one thing I do – I hate to say it, but I do wonder about if it, you know, if Georgia just doesn't get the – because they're not an NCAA tournament. Let's be honest. If Mississippi State loses that game, that is an extremely costly loss for Mississippi State.
Doubt.
It could cost the SEC a team in the NCAA tournament. I would hate to think that the NCAA official – or would make any calls with that in the back of their mind. But it sure doesn't look like Georgia gets a whole lot of respect to me with the whistle. And that's typical of teams that aren't winning games. And I'll say this, though. The way this Georgia basketball team has gone toe-to-toe with LSU and Mississippi State and Ole Miss, these are three NCAA teams that the Bulldogs have played and gone and play even. And so when you hear a coach say they're getting better but they're 1-12, it sounds almost laughable. Unless you've watched the games. And if you've watched the games, this Georgia basketball team has gotten so much better. And I don't know how Crean's done it, because the personnel hasn't changed. They still don't have a real, you know, true point guard. And there's obviously some limitations. But they're fun to watch. They're competitive. They haven't quit. They haven't given up. I'm looking forward to the game against Auburn on Wednesday night. I think it's going to be a great basketball game. I know it's a late start. But Auburn can be had right now. Bruce Pearl's team's not playing real well right now, and I don't know what the tradition is for that series, but I know that would mean a
close.
Lot if Tom Crean could get a win.
Well, you know, here's the thing too. I think since in the heat of the moment, the comments that came out on Alumni Day after the Ole Miss game, that you know they didn't come across right, and Coach Crean, if he had to do it again, obviously would have done things differently. So there were some things I'm sure behind closed doors that were said and done. It was probably a good thing that guys got some stuff off their chest, and the way, like you said, Mike, Georgia's still not winning, but the way this team has played since then, like you said, to go toe-to-toe with LSU and then to have, you know, 2 1-point toss-up games with the two good Mississippi schools last week. And I think that's one thing you're always looking for in a first-year coach, that the wins might not necessarily come, but you're looking for that improvement. And this team has certainly shown it.
Well, Crean, you know, everything he does, you know, he coaches every minute. I liked what he said about, you know, this is about winning now. This isn't about playing for next year. You know, you think there could be a tendency with, what, 5 or 6 seniors on the roster to start playing for next year. Crean hadn't done that. He's given these guys the opportunity to win now. I'll tell you what, I'm actually looking forward to going to the SEC tournament. And, you know, okay, the odds are maybe that Georgia's only there for a day or two, but, you know, we've seen some pretty magical things happen with Georgia basketball and the SEC tournament before, and as well as they're playing right now. You know, you don't know where a team's going to be. Basketball is such an interesting, you know, sport to me, in the sense that the regular season, you know, really doesn't mean a whole lot. It's all about what happens at the end of the year. It's all about the tournament. It's a tournament sport. I don't necessarily like that for defining a champion. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I like the regular season in college football to count. That's why, you know, the playoffs to me are kind of – but basketball is a different animal, and it's all about March and April, and You know, I don't necessarily think Georgia's going to catch fire and win the SEC basketball tournament. Of course not. But do I think that they could win, you know, two games there? For sure. Three depends on the matchup. I mean, we've already seen they can, you know, we've already seen them go toe-to-toe, you know, with LSU and Mississippi. And LSU, and I said it the night they beat Georgia, I said this might be the best team in the SEC. And some people laughed and, you know, oh, Tennessee. I said, I'm just telling you, that athleticism and quick, the LSU roster, those guys are so explosive. It's unbelievable. And I wouldn't be surprised to see LSU in the Final Four.
Hey, Mike, we always enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Catch you again next Monday. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Have a good one. Thanks, Mike.